You've chosen to keep radio in your portfolio, even with all your other jobs. Why is that?
Because it is the ultimate way to connect with the audience. You know, we are America's companion. We talk about that a lot at this company, you know, and there's an unvarnished presentation to radio that I think is more powerful and important now than ever before.
The Dow Jones Industrial Average is one of those hallmarks of American commerce and American capitalism that's the focus, as well as the envy of most people around the world. So every time we hit one of these big benchmarks, the rest of the world takes notice. 20,000 was one of those mythic levels that we thought we'd never hit, and now we're coming ever so close to it.
It's bad. Trump's intervening in globalization. He wants to take companies to the U.S., and that's going to affect Mexico.
JAB Holding Company is buying personal beverage system company Keurig Green Mountain for $13.9 billion. That's an expensive cup of coffee.
You know, it's a crime not to have delicious coffee like this all the time.
We will, now that I've discovered the mountains.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Today is Monday. It's January 9th, 2017, 5:10. Good. Well, welcome to another edition of The Opening Bell. And we promise you a show today that'll be good to the last drop. That's a Folgers reference. And how about that Chuck Mangione to start things off this morning in our montage? You heard a lot of different sound bites there. Lots of news happening over the weekend since we left you last, and lots of news happening today. Of course, this is a big week for all of the confirmations in Washington, D.C. as Donald Trump sets his cabinet. We'll tell you a little bit more about some of that. How about a Keurig that would also make you a mixed drink? That's kind of cool, too, coming out of the CES. We're going to talk about CES in the second half of our program today. Now that it's over, we're going to give you a review of some of the best and the worst of CES 2017, the Consumer Electronics Show. Also coming up, our CEO Spotlight with Josh Catt. He's with Kitch Fix of Chicago. You've heard all these packaged foods, the delivery foods to your house. This is one that comes pre-prepared. I'll get it out. That's in a box ready for you to eat, made by chefs right here in Chicago. And there's a Whole 30 component on this. If you're on the diet that's the Whole 30 diet, you'll want to stay tuned. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, Dow futures are off about 11 points. S&P futures are off about a point and a half. NASDAQ futures just a little bit higher this morning. Crude oil is trading at $53.18 a barrel. Some news since you went to bed last night. The pound has fallen to its lowest level since October after Prime Minister Theresa May suggested the country was heading for a clean break from the European Union. The pound fell 1 cent to $1.21 on Monday after May signaled in an interview with Sky News over the weekend that the UK is likely to leave the bloc single market in goods and services. She says Britain will not try to keep bits of membership once it leads. Leaves. And some traders read those comments to suggest she was prepared to trade with the EU as if it were any other country outside of Europe without any form of privileged status. The pound dropped almost a fifth against the dollar since the June 23rd Brexit vote. This morning, the dollar is up against the yen and the euro. U.S. benchmark crude oil fell, but remains above the $53.50 a barrel. The American Farm Bureau is meeting in Phoenix, has been meeting in Phoenix over the weekend. The president of the Farm Bureau, the American Farm Bureau, Sonny Duvall, was talking to Zippy Duvall, as you should say, was talking to the membership there about the new potential new agriculture secretary, Sonny Perdue, also the former Georgia governor. He says that he knows Sonny Perdue, has worked with him before, thinks he'll be okay. But Duvall tells the membership there that he's concerned about the trade policies of Donald Trump, because trade policies always seem to hurt farmers.
We're concerned about Mr. Trump's opinion on trade. That's what we told him, that he seems to be negative on trade, and agriculture is very much dependent on 30% of our income comes from trade. And they said, Mr. Trump knows that agriculture is always a winner in trade treaties. He doesn't expect that to change. He wants it to continue that way. He just wants to make sure that all Americans are winners in trade treaties. Now, I can't define what he has in his mind to do with that, but that does tell me that they understand the importance of agriculture in a trade treaty.
Duvall says he stands ready to work with the incoming president and anyone in his cabinet to make sure they understand the needs and concerns of farmers. Kitch Fix is a Chicago-based company that started in 2012. Josh Kat is the CEO of that organization. Josh Kat started this as a chef. He's passionate about all kinds of food and business, and his company is growing, a team now that includes more than 40 people and is expanding. Over the past couple of weeks, the company has announced it's partnering with Whole30, this new diet that's underway. We're going to talk a little bit about all of that. Josh is with us this morning here on the Opening Bell. Josh, good morning. Welcome to the program. You talk a little bit about the space. It's a very interesting space. You've got a lot of competition, some of it even here in Chicago. Let's start first by you telling us what Kitch Fix is all about and where things are standing right now with your company.
Sure, yeah. This is a big year for us at Kitch Fix. We started about 4 years ago, 2013. I was a personal chef delivering meals to Chicagoans out of my house, really, or I would go to their house, cook meals, and go to another house. I decided to get a kitchen, moved into a little church kitchen, started renting that, and launched a website and really started to grow what is now Kitch Fix. And so the business has evolved over the last 4 years to, you know, we started out as meal delivery business, and now we have a granola product that we make. It's grain free, so there's no oats, that we sell to about 250 stores right now. So this year we're sort of pivoting in a way. We're continuing to grow the meal delivery. We're launching some really cool things with that, continuing to refine that craft, but we're also really trying to build this granola business and get it into more and more stores across the nation.
And so how do I take part in this? How do I order a meal? Is there an app or is it online? A subscription? How does it work?
Sure. So our meals are available online. You go to kitchfix.com. You can peruse our menu. We have a menu that you can get this week, and we have a menu available for next week. So if you're a planner, you can plan your week next week, or if you're a last-minute kind of a guy or gal, you can get meals for tomorrow at any time.
You say these are all healthy meals.
Yeah.
That's a big umbrella. What does that mean?
Huge umbrella. You're right. So our meals focus on nutrient density. So we use a ton of vegetables. We use organic vegetables. We think they have the most nutrients, local. Our meats are pasture-raised, so the animals are walking around outside. They're eating what nature intended them to eat.
They're smiling.
They're flapping their wings, eating grass, you know, that sort of thing. And then we focus on, like, a lot of the paleo diet, which is grain-free, it's gluten-free, dairy-free. So none of our meals have gluten or dairy. So really, again, like focusing on the most amount of nutrients that we can provide for in every meal, like that's what we try to do. That's our goal. So you could say healthy, but we're like really in terms of anyone, I feel like in Chicago, we're the healthiest because we're really just, we have super strict standards on what we make and what we use.
Josh, hang out with us. We'll continue our pre-dawn conversation here on the Opening Bell. It's the CEO Spotlight. Josh Kat of Kitch Fix in Chicago is with us. On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, some movers in stocks of local interest. Archer Daniels Midland off 2.5% almost this morning. We're watching one of the other local stocks. Baxter International is up almost a full percent. Abbott Laboratories is up almost 2.5%. This is the Opening Bell.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now. The major U.S. benchmarks finished last week on the high side. The Dow Jones Industrial Average ended up 65.5 points at 19,963 on Friday. The S&P 500 rose 8 points. The NASDAQ Composite advanced 33. Tax filing season officially begins on January 23rd. The IRS expects more than 153 million returns to be filed this year. The deadline, April 18th. The 15th is on a Saturday. The 17th is a Washington, D.C. holiday. Fiat Chrysler says it will modernize a factory in Warren, Michigan to make the new Jeep Wagoneer and Grand Wagoneer SUVs. And a factory in Toledo, Ohio will update its equipment to make a new pickup truck model. Across town at General Motors, CEO Mary Barra says her company has no plans to change its production schedule because of criticism from President-elect Donald Trump. Barra said at an event before the Detroit Auto Show yesterday that capital decisions at GM are made 2 to 4 years in advance. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to the Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program at 5:23 in the CEO Spotlight. Today is Josh Catt. He's the CEO of Kitch Fix in Chicago. You can follow them on Twitter at Kitch Fix, F-I-X, and also at kitchfix.com. Josh, before we left you, we were talking a little bit about how things have gotten underway since you started this business about 2012. The thing I like about your business is that these are ready-to-eat meals. I don't like getting a box that I have to put everything together and cook. I guess that would be fun with a group, but I like to open up the box and eat it.
Yeah, and you can do that with our meals. They come fully prepared. Usually there's a sauce. You can put, you know, the directions will tell you, put it on before you heat or after. And it's fully prepared. You don't have to do anything. You know, my wife and I, we take our meals, we put them on a sheet tray, throw them in the oven, and heat them like that. Some people will throw them in the microwave and get them ready to eat in about 2 or 3 minutes.
You have been in business since 2013.
Mm-hmm.
What is your focus now? It's the grain, the granola that you mentioned.
Granola.
And also the Whole 30.
Yeah, so we just partnered with Melissa Hartwig, who created this diet called the Whole 30 diet. And if you haven't heard about it, it's a huge sensation that's been going on for the last few years. And Chicago, there are a ton of people who follow her and have tried the diet. And so we thought it was a really good strategic alignment for us. And since a lot of our meals and people are coming to us and saying, hey, can you provide us some Whole 30 meals? And so we started to build some recipes and things like that. And so we launched with her and got Whole 30 approved. So she has a strict approval process. She'll go through all of your ingredients. She'll look at what's included, and she'll, you know, give you her seal of approval, which we got late December. Perfect timing for January, because many, many people are doing it, including myself, my wife, and tons of people at our office, to do the Whole 30 diet. And so right now we have about 10 or 11 meals on our menu, plus some breakfasts and snacks that are all Whole 30. So that's dishes that are free of grains and gluten and dairy, no added sweeteners. Like we use some sweeteners in Kitch Fix for like maple and honey, but these are all free of that. So
you're on it. How is it going?
Great. I feel so good. You know, after the last month was a little crazy with the holidays, and you're, you know, having wine with your friends and celebrating, so much to celebrate. But now it's like, you know, time to buckle down and just, you know, really get things back in order, and it feels good so far.
How did this all get started? Where did you come up with this idea?
Well, I was a personal chef for a woman who was a cancer survivor, and she asked me to prepare some meals according to the anti-inflammatory diet. And so I started doing research and realized that my background as a chef really related to that. I had worked in farm-to-table restaurants and had really focused on technique and to build flavor. And so I started applying those principles to anti-inflammatory cooking, and it just took off. And people, you know, she would refer all of her friends to my services. So I'd go to their house and just going house to house to house. And that's kind of how I started.
So now you're the CEO. You have staff, chefs working for you.
Mm-hmm.
How's that going?
It's going well. I really enjoy this side of the business. I love to learn and grow and different part of my skill set. I still get in the kitchen once in a while and work with my team to continue to push the envelope in terms of, you know, our creativity and chef recipes and chef-drivenness that we like to cultivate. It's still a passion of mine, but I love to build this thing. You know, I love building and creating.
So how does your background as a chef help you guide your employees in this area?
I think, you know, work ethic as a chef, like you're just always grinding, and you have to push, and you have to, you know, strive for perfection. And, you know, every time you make a dish, you have a chance to make it better. And so that's the way I kind of approach all the areas of our business. And, you know, I expect a lot of our employees, and I expect a lot of my teams, but, you know, we all are going towards that goal of, like, continuing to improve our products for customers, because they really love it, and they can tell, and they love to give us feedback, and we love to make them happy.
Do your employees call you sir or chef?
chef, mostly.
What have been your biggest challenges?
Challenges. So I think that, you know, just not having a business background per se. So I'm learning the ropes and you know, sort of the role as the CEO, and you know, just learning that part has been a challenge, but it's been really good, you know. And then on the other side too, you know, we have a lot of, you know, competition in the area, and healthy food is sort of a new trend. So making sure we differentiate ourselves enough to be continue to be relevant has been a challenge, but it's going really well. Like a lot of our, we had a lot of competition come in a couple of years ago, and then they all left. They all went out of business. So we're still here. We're really excited about 2017. Love what we do, and I think as long as we can continue to love what we do, like, it'll show, you know.
Are there keys to the successes? Is it, did you have team members that you count on to help you make your decisions and do this mm-hmm. sort of as a team, or do you make a lot of the decisions yourself?
No, it's definitely a team driven operation. You know, I feel so fortunate that I can walk away from the kitchen now. You know, I don't have to be there day to day to, you know, chop onions. I can walk away and I can think big picture. I can come talk to you. I can meet with other people that can really help to shape Kitch Fix for the future. And so I've taken that as my responsibility, but I couldn't do that without awesome people, you know, to help.
I saw as we moved into the holidays last year some statistics that more people are getting their food from these sorts of services as opposed to getting their groceries from a grocery store.
Yep.
Talk to me a little bit about that trend and what you see maybe coming in 2017.
Yeah, sure. So I saw that same stat. It's very exciting. You know, this is the first year that people spent more money outside of a grocery store on food than inside. So there's a huge opportunity for Kitch Fix and businesses like Kitch Fix. More people are getting used to the idea of, hey, I don't have to go to the store and buy and chop and cook. I can get it pre-made for me. And there's plenty of really good options out there. I think one cool thing that one opportunity yet is more people using their phones and the internet to buy food versus going, you know, or calling someone to place their order. Food service really lags behind traditional retail in terms of online purchasing. So many more people like are getting used to the fact of buying food online, and there's a huge opportunity there for us.
What does expansion look like for you? Is it adding kitchens and staff and states and cities? What do you see coming?
Yeah, so, I mean, there's tons of opportunity for Kitch Fix meal delivery. I mean, we have this amazing city of Chicago with, 9 million across Chicagoland. We feel like we're barely scratching the surface there. So our focus is Chicago. We want to refine the model because meal delivery, there's not really any other services like it, prepared meal delivery. So there's definitely the Blue Aprons and the Home Chefs of the world, but there's not a lot of like huge meal delivery companies. And so we want to be cautious as we grow and grow in a smart way. And so that's really our focus. Like, let's continue to build our brand in Chicago, see how big we can get it here. Once we get the model perfect, then we can kind of expand into other cities.
Josh, good to meet you, and all the best in 2017.
Thank you for having me.
Josh Catt is the CEO and entrepreneur, founder of Kitch Fix, based in Chicago. You can follow on Twitter at Kitch Fix, and you can follow Josh if you want to. He is Chef Josh on Twitter, and at online, kitchfix.com is where you can click in. Make sure you also tune into our podcast. We'll continue our conversation with Josh after the bell and post that on our WGNradio.com website on our full podcast of today's show. It is 5:31 on the opening bell. Over to the newsroom, and Vic Vaughn standing by with what's coming up on the news. Vic?
Good morning, Steve. It's been nearly 2 years since a state budget was passed in Illinois. We'll tell you why some lawmakers say we could have one by Wednesday. My report next.
This is the opening bell.
From ABC News, Tech Trends, one of the most popular devices ever, turning 10 years old.
Today, Apple is going to reinvent the phone.
It was January 9th, 2007, when then Apple CEO Steve Jobs introduced the company's latest innovation to the world.
And we are calling it iPhone.
It was a revolutionary idea at the time, a single device that could act as a phone, connect to the internet, serve as a camera, and as a mobile music player.
These are not three separate devices. This is one device.
It would also be the first of its kind to eliminate all those buttons and
just make a giant screen, a giant screen.
The first iPhones, which only had 4 gigabytes of memory and ran about $500, would go on sale to the public a few months later.
iPhone is like having your life in your pocket. It's the ultimate digital device.
With Tech Trends, I'm Mark Remillard, ABC News.
WGN Radio's Daily Conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program on this Monday edition of the show. And over the past few days in Las Vegas, it was the Consumer Electronics Show. All of the new gadgets and gizmos were on display for everyone to see what was hot, what was not. One of the things that sort of jumped off the page at me was a new robot that actually folds your laundry. The CEO and founder of the company that put it together says he got the idea, not surprisingly, from his wife.
I was asking my wife, do you have anything in your mind that you really, really want to have and which is not available anywhere in the world and is something really difficult to develop? And immediately she answered that, oh, it is clearly laundry folding robot. And I said, oh, it's a good idea.
Shin Sakani is the CEO of American Dreamers. The only problem with that robot, though, is it takes about 19 hours to fold a load of clothes, maybe even longer. Let's bring in Jason Heiner. He's one of the global editors at ZDNet, also at Tech Republic. And I have Josh on the mind today. I'm not sure why. Welcome to the Opening Bell. Good to have you with us.
Yeah, glad to be here.
You have one of the best jobs, I think, in the world. This coming from a tech geek. Were you just completely drowning in all of the tech?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's so much there. You know, a good trade show usually has about 10,000 people. CES has 180,000. And that's because it's not really one trade show. It's more like 5 to 10 different ones, right? There's car tech, there's robots, there's startups, there's consumer electronic companies, TVs, computers, there's everything. And it's tough to take it all in, but that's what we do. And I gave a lot of tours there to help people who are trying to process it all, figure it out. And, of course, we write about and do videos and photos of all the best stuff.
Well, and I know your site is one that I go to whenever I'm thinking about buying anything new. I always go and make sure that it's approved by you guys first. So I hear that, based on your writing and reporting, that the next big thing is voice. It's happening now. It's the all of these, Alexas and the Amazon Dots of the world. This is the next big thing.
Yeah, you know, the great thing is that for a long time, we'd been promised that voice was going to be like the next interface for computers, but the error rate was just too high. There was a 25% error rate for a long time, and it's just been in the last few years that the error rate is down to about the same level as a human, you know, the number of errors a human makes when hearing someone. And so now it's so much better. It's so much more usable. And so, Alexa, you can really credit Amazon with some of that, mostly because when they launched the Amazon Echo, they went with a very specific set of things, you know, versus like Apple Siri, which tries to answer anything that you ask. You know, the Amazon Echo started, it only had about 100 things that it could do. You know, what's the weather going to be like in Chicago on Sunday? What time's my flight on Monday? All of those kinds of things. Now it does about 7,000 things, especially with some integrations. So it started small, and now it has a lot to offer. And at CES, Amazon didn't have a booth. Amazon Echo did not have a booth at CES, but it was, make no mistake, the hottest thing at CES. Everybody wanted to talk about their Amazon Alexa integration.
And we see in the news today that there have been a couple of these stories where Amazon Echoes have purchased stuff unwantedly, one of them dollhouses and candy. Is this technology that's still being worked out, or is it? Are these just glitches?
Yeah, they're just glitches. I think that it certainly isn't perfect, but it's very good, and it can do a lot. And you look at things like the Dish network integration. You can now, you know, talk to Amazon and say, you know, turn on Designated Survivor in my living room, and it'll turn on your DVR. You know, things like that, and as well as integration with, you know, things like the Fire TV and with other devices. You know, it's good. It's really good, but it's not perfect. And, you know, there's also some interesting competitors. Google Home is its newest sort of most interesting competitor, and it can do some unique things that Amazon Alexa can't, and it's also very good.
Well, what else did you see that are going to be the must-haves this year?
Yeah, so the other thing that was, you know, really big was robots. You know, you started by talking about the sort of robot that'll fold your laundry. That one's not quite there yet for the reasons you mentioned. It takes a long time, but I think we all want it. I think that, you know, once that gets down to, you know, something in the under $500 range, you know, that might be your next must-have appliance after a washer and dryer. Because I think everybody has that challenge of baskets of laundry that need to be folded. But robots, that's only one example. LG announced, robots for home and business, a home robot that'll do some similar things to Alexa and some of the other products. They announced a robot that will mow your lawn and a robot that will be used in airports as a sort of customer service robot. So like customer service, hospitality, that's one of the big areas we're going to see a lot of these robots make a big splash in. There's some other things that were really interesting, I think, from a business perspective. Norton, the security company, introduced a really interesting product called the Norton Core Secure Wi-Fi Router. One of the big concerns with the digital age, of course, is security. And Norton has this high-speed router that has some pretty nice style. It almost looks like more like a little geodesic dome that sits on your desk. And it auto-updates itself. It auto-updates its own firmware. It searches packets that come through your system for malware, so proactively, and it scans for potentially vulnerable Internet of Things devices on your network. So if you have a thermostat or another of these Internet of Things, you know, home devices that are vulnerable, like we've seen lately, you know, cameras or other things, it will recognize that, identify them, and alert you to it. So pretty interesting.
And there was also, I mean, business technology did take quite a front row in this year's show, didn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, more and more, a lot of these companies are offering services, right? They're offering not just a piece of hardware, but they want to offer services. So that is more of a B2B business kind of thing. And more of them want to be not just a one-time purchase, but want to be something that you need to come back for. And there's some really interesting tech that, consumer tech is more and more being used by businesses. There were some interesting things. There's a little smartphone lens called Oloclip that you could use on your iPhone 7 that they were introducing or at least promoting at the show. It really makes your phone capable of being more of a professional kind of tool and makes it more practical for professional use. There was also a really great little drone that we liked called Hover Camera, which is about the size of a piece of bread, and you toss it up in the air and it kind of folds out. And they unveiled a new autonomous mode. So you scan your face with your smartphone, and this drone can follow you automatically and take photos and video. So we could see some interesting professional uses for that, for example, as well.
Well, I know there's tons of things on display there, but if you had to pick something that was a big swing and a miss, a big dud, what would be at the top of your list from the show?
Oh, boy, man, there's a lot. There's a lot. You know, it's interesting. I hate to say it, but I think maybe the biggest disappointment that I heard people talking about was actually the products you mentioned at the top of the show, the laundry folding device, because it takes so long, right? It's right. Like, I know a lot of people were like, you know, get me that now. But they're like, for 19 hours, and I think they said it'll cost the same amount as like a high-end washing machine. So they didn't say exactly, but my, assumption was that means $800 to $1,000. Nobody really wants to pay that much for it, for something that's going to take, you know, essentially all night to and more to fold your laundry. So I think that it's a good start. And there's a lot of things at CES like that are a good start. I think the other maybe some other swings and misses are the idea of virtual reality, that they sort of have played this up as almost like this social thing. And you walk by at CES, especially last year, and you'd see like, you know, a group of 50 people with these, you know, big things on their face, and you realize really quickly, this is not something you're meant to do in company. Like, this is something for you
exactly.
at home by yourself, because you look like such a dork when you have this, you know, big thing strapped to your face. And so I think we saw the evolution of augmented reality, something that you see where you're out in the real world, sort of taking over for virtual reality. But when you have that, as we saw with Google Glass, very few people wanted to wear them in public, because, you know, wearing something like this in public, the bar is a little higher than just having a thing strapped to your face in your den.
Jason, we have just about a minute or so left, but what should we make of Apple not being there at the show this year?
Yeah, Apple never shows up. Apple wasn't there. You know, Microsoft has kind of quit coming too. Like I said, Amazon wasn't there. Neither was Google. So the biggest companies, the biggest technology companies in the world, were not there. And they really weren't there because they don't have to be there. Right. You know, they throw an event and people come to them, and they stream it online, and people watch. You know, millions of people watch, even more than what, or hundreds of thousands, or at least tens of thousands. But, you know, often more people than are at CES or that they would interact with at CES. And so they're there because they don't have to be there. You know, these others are all, you know, jockeying for attention, jockeying for the limelight.
Jason Heiner is one of the global editors at ZDNet. You can follow Jason at Jason Heiner, H-I-N-E-R, and at ZDNet. And at Tech Republic, and go there and see all of the different videos that they've put together. They'll show you some of the best and the worst of CES. Jason, good of you to be with us this morning. Thank you.
Enjoyed it. Thanks for having me.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning. Dow futures still negative, off now 31 points. NASDAQ and S&P futures are mixed. In Europe, generally a positive night, and in Asia, the markets there dealing with some holiday work, so light trading in Asia. Let's get the latest now on commodities and agriculture, and here is Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve, from Arizona, where the American Farm Bureau Federation goes into its second day of annual meeting here at the Convention Center in Phoenix. Turnout of about 6,000 people from all over the country, enjoying weather that probably isn't as warm as they thought it would be, but it's certainly warmer than where it was where many people started their trip. It's an interesting convention because of so much uncertainty, because we're faced with writing a new farm bill next year. We're concerned about overregulation. We're concerned about immigration and farm labor for American agriculture. And, yes, we're concerned about who will be the Secretary of Agriculture. As one Farm Bureau state president said, right now we're flying blind. But they are going to, in their policy discussion, talk a great deal about the direction that we might be seeing under the Trump administration, and particularly what they want to see in the Farm Bill that has to be written by the end of this year. Market-wise, most of the people I've talked to were pretty well satisfied with their crops this year. A lot of disappointment in market prices, and as we go into this week of trade, we're looking at cattle and hog futures that ended last Friday mixed, with the nearby February hogs down 77 cents for the day, the nearby February cattle down 10 cents for the day, and January feeder cattle up 25 cents for the day on Friday. Today, back downtown Phoenix, and more policy debate and discussion at the American Farm Bureau Federation Convention. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuels.
All right, Orion, thank you. You have a great day as well. Now, the Associated Bank Market Desk outlook for this Monday, January 9th. Federal Reserve releases the consumer installment credit figures for November of 2016. Also, we'll see what auto sales did in China in 2016. The North American International Auto Show takes place in Detroit, an opportunity for major car manufacturers to exhibit their latest models, and it is a stage for major industry news. We could see more from the CEOs of the car companies today and their ongoing disputes with the Trump administration, the new Trump administration. Other things happening today, the annual National Climate Monitoring Report will be published by the U.S. National Climate Data Center. We'll get the latest update on what climate change might be doing to our planet later today. An important speech as well. American Federation of Teachers President Randy Weingarten delivers a speech in Washington on what America's students need to succeed and the destructive pitfalls of an anti-public education agenda. This speech will happen at the National Press Club a little later on. Also today, Health and Human Services Secretary Sylvia Matthews-Burwell talks about the consequences of repealing the Affordable Care Act at the National Press Club. And SpaceX returns to flight. The Falcon 9 rocket scheduled to launch at 12:22 Central Time today. You'll remember the Falcon 9 exploded in a spectacular blast-off explosion on September 1st, and SpaceX has been grounded ever since. That's the opening bell for today. We'll continue to follow your money throughout the morning next on the Steve Cochran Show and throughout the day here on 720 WGN. We'll be back bright and early tomorrow with another edition of the opening bell. I'm Steve Krasanich. Have a great day.